A mass will be held tonight for the victims of Saturday's shootings in Arizona, and President Obama will be in Tucson tomorrow night for a memorial service. But in the meantime, questions are still being asked about how the alleged shooter, 22-year-old Jared Loughner, was able to purchase a Glock semi-automatic handgun, even though his teachers and classmates at Pima Community College were raising red flags about him. Well, today's Washington Post reports that under Arizona law, any one of them could have contacted local officials and requested that he be evaluated for mental illness. That might have led to treatment and could have shown up during the instant background check conducted when he tried to buy the gun he used to kill six people and seriously wound Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Washington Post reporter James Grimaldi joins us. And James, tell us more about what could have happened in Arizona when teachers and classmates saw what they described as Loughner's increasingly bizarre behavior.
Well, apparently they could have called the county and recommended that he be seen for treatment. And to the best of the knowledge of the officials we talked to in Pima County, that was never done. They were never contacted and asked to take a look at this individual and determine whether he posed a danger to himself or others.
Even though he was suspended from school after causing multiple disruptions.
That's right. He attended the school from the summer of 2005 to the fall of 2010, and he was suspended for violating the college's code of conduct after five disruptions in classrooms and libraries on two different campuses, and after they discovered a YouTube video that Loughner posted claiming the college was illegal under the U.S. Constitution.
What would have happened had somebody contacted local officials?
He could have been seen. He could have been evaluated for treatment. The question about whether he'd end up in the background check really has to do whether, under state law, he was determined to be adjudicated mentally defective. And that's literally the language that's in the form developed after the Gun Control Act of 1968. The two elements that would make him ineligible to buy a gun were judged by a court or an administrative action or a commission or judge to be mentally defective, or if he'd ever been committed to a mental institution.
But it appears that Jared Loughner was never evaluated for mental health problems, never got into the system. It never went on his record. Of course, we don't really know because of privacy issues, but it appears that there were no obstacles to him being able to buy a gun. Does that seem right?
Well, there might have been an obstacle related to his drug arrest, but in terms of not appearing in this federal database, no, he didn't. And, you know, this became a big issue after the Virginia Tech shootings. It was determined that the man who killed those people on that campus actually should have been prohibited from buying a gun, but because paperwork had fallen through the cracks and not been reported to the federal government, he did not show up on the watch list that would have prevented him from purchasing a weapon.
So his mental health problems never went on his record, but he did have a drug offense. Why didn't that show up in background checks?
There's a couple, three or four reasons for that, actually. One, the drug arrest was for a misdemeanor possession of drug paraphernalia. And he went into a diversion program so that he could get the arrest dismissed. However, there's a group of mayors across the country led by Mayor Mike Bloomberg and the mayor of Boston. They formed an organization called Mayors Against Illegal Guns. Today, they're asking that the federal government try to tighten those regulations to try to prevent drug abusers from purchasing weapons. When we took a look at how often there are names in that database, and these are statistics available from the FBI, currently there are only about 2,000 people in all of the United States who are listed as being prohibited from purchasing a firearm in that database. And the mayors think that's a way low number. There should be a lot more people in there.
Well, if you look at how many people have been convicted of drug crimes, there's got to be more than 2,000 people.
Right. And a lot of those people would turn up as felons, and felons are not permitted to buy a firearm from a licensed dealer. And so in those instances, many of those cases would be there. But they're probably also examples of drug abusers who may not have gotten a felony conviction, may be arrested for having drugs with personal use. In this case, Loeffner was not allowed to enlist in the Army because of past drug use, which we reported over the weekend. Time magazine reported that he actually admitted to being a frequent marijuana user. And the mayors think, well, why didn't the military put his name in that list? If they had confirmed he was a frequent user of marijuana, then he should have also ended up in this list as a prohibited buyer of a firearm.
James, you've been following these issues for the Post for some time. Do you think there's any chance that what happened in Arizona last Saturday will lead to changes, or this call from mayors to make stricter prohibitions against people with drug charges from buying firearms? Do you think there will be changes?
Well, when you look at the history of gun laws and regulation in the United States, most of the major changes and the restrictions that were put in place came after major tragedies like this. And it all began with the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and then 6 years later, his brother, Robert F. Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. The two latter assassinations resulted in the Gun Control Act of 1968. And I expect there probably will be some changes. I can't predict what those will be. They might be some of these things that are on the table, or they might be something else. But generally, there are some kind of tightening that happens after a major incident like this.
James Grimaldi is a reporter for The Washington Post. James, thank you.
You're welcome.